Hi, everyone. Welcome to Packers Unscripted from Packers.com. I'm Mike Spofford, sitting next to Wes Hodkowitz. We're coming to you here from our studios at Lambeau Field. And Wes, preseason game number three is upon us, a road trip to Mile High Stadium in Denver, Colorado. And if past history holds true, this will be the last time that we will see the majority of the Packers starters on both sides of the ball in preseason action. Kind of the last little tune-up, I guess you'd call it, for week one against the Seattle Seahawks on September 10th. So with that in mind, what do you have your eye on come Saturday night?
Well, I think it has to be this offense, Mike. When you look at Aaron Rodgers, the weapons that he has around him, you and I talked about it after the game in Washington, you know, Martellus Bennett getting his first chance to be in an actual game environment with Rodgers, understanding what he's looking for when he rushes to the line of scrimmage. To, you know, try catching a team for 12 men off on the field,
right.
Getting a team off sides, trying to, you know, push the tempo. That's when the Packers offense is at its best. Jordy Nelson, Randall Cobb, Devontae Adams, a number of these guys have been in the system for a number of years. But you do have a small nucleus of players now, like Bennett, like Jahri Evans, even, you know, Jamal Williams coming in as a rookie, that are trying to get used to this flow and rhythm. So I think for me it starts there, just trying to see exactly how much Mike McCarthy, how much work he wants to get with this number one offense, and then also just the reps that you do have, trying to maximize them like they did against Washington.
Yeah, and we'll have to watch that right tackle position for Green Bay, because we've found out that Brian Bulaga, who sustained an ankle injury in practice on Wednesday, it doesn't sound like, at least to this point, that it's anything serious. They're still running some tests, but he will not play in Denver on Saturday night, which turns over the right tackle position with the number one offensive line to either Kyle Murphy or Jason Spriggs, two draft picks from 2016. Kyle Murphy, sixth round pick out of Stanford. Jason Spriggs, second round pick out of Indiana. Now, Spriggs has spent most of his time throughout this offseason program and training camp at left tackle. Murphy has definitely taken more snaps at right tackle. But either way, whichever way it goes, and maybe they split the duties when the number ones are in there, but a big opportunity for those two young guys to kind of show something here.
Yeah, in some ways, Mike, this sort of does simulate what a regular season environment could be like in terms of the Packers trying to determine, okay, if you're missing one of those starting five offensive linemen, or in specific, one of the two tackles, you know, are you going to look at Kyle Murphy? Or are you going to look at Jason Spriggs? What exactly is going to be the decision-making process there? So both of those guys are going to be competing to show that, you know what, I can be the next man up if this team needs me to be. I have been really impressed by Kyle Murphy so far in camp. I mean, he's a big kid. He's long. He has a good base, big, as I mentioned. And really, I think, probably settles in more as what you would think of as a right tackle. He's worked a little bit at guard, though, as well.
Right.
Jason Spriggs has worked extensively at the left tackle position. I thought Mike McCarthy's comments this week were pretty telling when he was talking about Spriggs and kind of the game he had in Washington, and, you know, how this coaching staff is sort of seeing the big picture there, that, yeah, maybe there are certain things that he needs to work on and clean up, but in general, both of those tackles are guys that I think the Packers like in terms of their long-term prospects in this offense.
Yeah, Mike McCarthy was very complimentary of the training camp that Kyle Murphy is having, and also of the type of game that he played in Washington. You know, there's some angst amongst the fan base with Jason Spriggs. There have been some rough moments on the video, on the TV broadcasts. We've all seen it during these first couple of preseason games, but the Packers are fully confident in Jason Spriggs. They believe it's a matter of development. It's a matter of coming along. It's having the entire unit on the same page mentally. Now, that being said, I think if Von Miller is lined up across from either Kyle Murphy or Jason Spriggs on Saturday night, schematically, the Packers are going to make sure Aaron Rodgers is protected. They're not going to, as much as they want to see what these young tackles have to offer, they're not going to put Aaron Rodgers in jeopardy, particularly in a preseason game, but they do it in a regular season game too.
Right. Mike McCarthy was asked about that on Thursday in terms of, okay, so does, if Bulaga's absence, does that impact at all how you distribute the snaps with Aaron Rodgers? He really wasn't willing to commit to anything, but he did say that, you know, that all gets taken care of. They all weigh those factors in the pre-practice, in the you know, the game planning sessions of how often he's going to be out there, and if he is out there, do you lend some help to that side? All things the Packers are going to have to figure out. But at the end of the day, it is about week one. It's about the Seattle Seahawks, and it's about doing everything you can do to get as many of those guys healthy and available in that contest. So a lot of factors for them to weigh, trying to balance that rhythm and chemistry along with just being naturally conservative and wanting to make sure your guys stay healthy.
Yeah, and on the defensive side of the ball, I think a guy that I'll have my eye on is Demarius Randall, a cornerback. We've seen him play a lot in the slot through the spring and through the summer, that star position that we've talked about. He's missed a chunk of time here with the concussion from the first preseason game against Philadelphia, but he got back on the practice field this week. He's one of those guys with that I want to see kind of, you know, get his footing back with the number one defense, get back into that groove that he was in during the spring when he really was, not just because of the name of the position, but he really was one of the stars of the defense through OTAs in terms of a guy who was showing up regularly. That's a guy I'm going to be watching here Saturday night.
Yeah, I think that's a good guy to watch because you do look at his skill set, his ball hawking ability. It does lend itself to that star slot position, which is naturally a playmaking ability, playmaking position in terms of where this defense is and how Dom Capers uses those players. So things will have to factor in that. But certainly for Demarius Randall being able to get back after only 1 week off, very big positive for him now going forward.
Yeah, and Josh Jones, the rookie safety, right, who missed the last game out in Washington, he was back on the practice field as well. So we'll see what he's got to offer. But we need to get to a break. So back with more on Packers Unscripted right after this. Welcome back to Packers Unscripted. Mike Spofford here, Wes Hodkowitz over there. And Wes, we concluded, tough word for me to say today, the last segment talking about the defense. And I want to continue with that, at the defensive side of the ball, but in a different vein. And with regards to safety, haha, Clinton Dix, you have a piece on our website, packers.com, talking about a major off-the-field excursion, I guess you might call it, for haha, Clinton Dix. This offseason, he had an internship at the local courthouse here in Brown County as part of his education at the University of Alabama towards his criminal justice degree. Tell us a little bit about that. It sounds pretty interesting.
It was, Mike, and it is interesting because he, for the number of years now, has been really interested in criminal justice. He's explained in a numerous amount of articles his motivations behind that. In a nutshell, it really comes down to the relationship between, you know, police officers, public safety, and the public in which they're sworn to defend. Clinton Dix has such a unique perspective on it because he said before in the past, you know, he grew up in a neighborhood, in an environment where maybe people didn't always trust police officers. But in his mind, he understood the big picture, and he understood there's good people out there that are trying to do the best that they can. And as he's gotten older, it's something he's taken a greater interest in, and he's working towards his degree after re-enrolling at Alabama towards it. So what he did this past summer is he actually got an internship as a judicial assistant for Green Bay Judge Donald Zeidmulder for him to come in, job shadow him for 90 hours for 3 credits toward his degree. They gave him a wide array of different things that he can learn, brought him into the court system, brought him out in the public with the police officers. Just a really positive experience for him over a course of about 2 months, just to get a full kind of wide range feel of what exactly criminal justice entails.
Yeah, it's a fascinating field because actually my own personal experience when I was in graduate school for journalism at Northwestern in Chicago, I took a quarter. The school was on a quarter system, and for 1 quarter, I studied the legal system and covering it as a journalist. I was actually covering federal court in downtown Chicago, covering it for class, not for publication. But just the stuff that you're exposed to that you wouldn't normally see on an everyday basis. I was actually sitting in on a court case that involved a father-son bank robbery team that they had hit like 7 or 8 banks in the Midwest, and here they were being prosecuted in federal court. But so I share a little bit of his passion for the industry, so to speak. But also worth mentioning with Clinton Dix, he's very, very passionate about this field. He's even gone so far as to put the names of fallen police officers from his home state of Florida on his cleats. He started a foundation as well. You wrote a little bit about that too.
Yeah, Haha's Heroes, which is, you know, basically meant for the Green Bay area specifically, trying to help kids that may come from lower income families, trying to find ways for them to have an avenue towards, you know, making their dreams come true. Just a really neat approach that he's taken. Mike McCarthy, the Packers head coach, Jaron Elliott, two guys I talked to for it, just mentioning how selfless he is. The thing that's really interesting, though, about the whole story in general is just how him and Zeidmulder were brought together, because it was really improbable. I mean, it came down to Judge Zeidmulder being down in Orlando with his wife, and he just happened to meet HaHa's grandfather, Julius, at the time. Just by total happenstance, Julius was bringing them to the airport after their stay, and as it turned out, had a bunch of stuff on his car, Roll Tide, HaHa Clinton Dix. Zeidmulder didn't even know who Clinton Dix was at that point. He asked about him. And his grandfather very proudly said, "That's my grandson. You watch in the draft. He's going to be taken by the Detroit Lions." he was close. NFC North and ended up being North, the Green Bay Packers. But through that small connection, they kind of developed a friendship. And then over this last year, you know, worked it out to do this internship together. And both men really talked about what they took away from it. Different experiences, different backgrounds that they come from. Obviously a big age gap, but yet they – that it's neat to see that common bond forged through something like, you know, the criminal justice system.
Yeah, that airport encounter, that's just a great small world incredible story. It's before Clinton Dix was drafted. As you said, his grandfather thought he was going to go to Detroit, waited a couple of extra hours there on draft night before he goes to Green Bay. And it's one of those things, not that HaHa Clinton Dix wouldn't have continued to pursue his criminal justice degree or perhaps get a similar internship, but the fact that then he's here in Green Bay and it happens with a judge that his grandfather already knew or that had met. It's just an amazing story.
Yeah, and Judge Zeidmulder said too, I mean, he's a man of faith. You know, whatever your belief is, he thinks that it didn't just happen out of coincidence. He thinks it happened for a reason. So for them to get brought together was a neat thing. Also, the Green Bay Police Department, the different departments he worked for, the people I talked to in that, really saying how much they enjoyed it in the process of having him around. Just, it's the type of thing that, you know, he's an all-pro safety, he's a Pro Bowl safety, he's 24 years old. There's so many things going on in his life right now that he could have total tunnel vision. He could not look at what's going on in the outside world at all. But for him, it's a big focus. He wants to find ways to make the world better, and he believes through this avenue, you know, once his playing career is over, whenever that is, that's something that he believes he can take to maybe make an even bigger impact on this world.
Yeah, Clinton Dix really making a lot of strides since he's been here, just to, in terms of his relationship with the fans. I mean, anytime there are autographs and things going on, he'll practically stay there and sign for every last person who wants an autograph, whether it's at Jordy Nelson's softball game or whatever the case might be. So kudos to him for just the, you know, I hate to say it sounding like an old guy, but the man he's becoming.
Absolutely. And it is funny, too, you bring up the autograph. Some people I talked to, we weren't down in the Pro Bowl in Orlando, his hometown, but I remember hearing different reporters telling me that out of all the players, he was the one up until the very end. He signed every single autograph. Hundreds of fans out there, every single autograph until the night was over. Pretty special.
Yeah, definitely. Well, with that, Wes, we're going to throw it to a break. Back with more on Packers Unscripted right after this. Welcome back to Packers Unscripted. Mike Spofford in this chair, Wes Hodkowitz in that one. Wes, we talked earlier in the show about things we want to keep our eye on in Denver. If there's one thing I'd like to see out in Denver, it's Max McCaffrey score a touchdown. And I say that because it's kind of a neat story. Max McCaffrey has already scored a touchdown at Mile High Stadium in Denver. His senior year in high school, his school is playing for the state championship. His younger brother, Christian, is also on the team. And now Christian is the star. He's now the first-round pick of the Carolina Panthers and everything, the Heisman Trophy finalist. In that state championship game, he has over 300 yards from scrimmage, rushing and receiving combined with four touchdowns. But older brother Max returns an interception for a score, gets a pick six as part of his team's state championship, and now he's returning to the scene of some pretty cool high school memories.
Yeah, it is interesting. I'm sure there was a lot of high schools in that division in Colorado that were wishing that the McCaffrey family would just maybe move to California or somewhere else.
Exactly.
Seven of the last eight state championships, quite a run they've had, and obviously they've been fully entrenched with that. This opportunity, though, is really interesting this weekend because it is. Denver Broncos, his dad is synonymous with that field, with Mile High Stadium. The fact that he scored a touchdown in this new stadium, The fact that the two boys did as well, their little brother now having a lot of success, a Michigan recruit at quarterback. So for McCaffrey going back, I think you talked to him this week, an exciting moment for him to get this opportunity to not only play in front of his hometown fans, but also bring back some of those memories of high school. Because we know how many times being able to play at that time, how impressionable that can be on a young guy to have that kind of opportunity, and now getting a chance to go back trying to live his NFL dream.
Yeah, and Max McCaffrey is a guy who has done just about everything a guy could do in a training camp and a preseason to this point in terms of making, you know, one of those long shot roster bids. He's got 5 receptions for 70 yards in the 2 preseason games, which is tied for the team lead in catches and second in receiving yards behind Jeff Janis. He's done just about everything but get into the end zone, and he's one of these guys that that the backup quarterbacks, they practically fight over him because he's such a good route runner. He knows exactly where to be when he's supposed to be there. He's very reliable. He catches just about everything they throw his way. I don't know if we've even seen him drop a pass. Now this receiving core, as we talked about, it's extremely crowded. There's a lot to be sorted out over these last 2 preseason games. But Max McCaffrey's making a legitimate bid here.
Yeah, and I think you brought up a good point, too, because you got to remember, these young guys, Joe Callahan, Taysom Hill, they're trying to make the roster, too. So, yeah, when you get a receiver like that that can make you look good, you want to have that guy on your side. You want to have him lining up, you know, next to you. So the other thing that really impressed me about McCaffrey, because we can talk all day about his route running and his catches and maximizing those opportunities, but really also what he's done on special teams at times too. He's been incredibly sure-handed on punt returns, which is something that surprised me. I didn't expect that right away.
Yeah, and I looked that up. He actually only had 3 punt returns his entire college career at Duke, but yet he looked like a natural at it. In Washington, he had that 17-yard return.
He had the 17-yarder. He also had that one that was the short punt that he had to run up through traffic, fair catch it just to bring it in. So those are important balls that you don't want to muff, because otherwise, you know, they can get good field position there. I think they would have had about the 35 there. So
yeah,
McCaffrey has impressed me in that way and what he's been able to do. And then obviously, as you've said before, there are still 2 preseason games to go. There's still a long way to travel. But the fact that he's in this conversation for a roster spot, I think speaks to what the film he's put together in the job he's done since he came on the Packers roster last December.
Yeah, no question. A very detailed guy. Had to, you know, take all kinds of notes when he got here on the practice squad. He's trying to learn everything on the fly, and he's making the most of his chance to this point. But before we go to break, Wes, I want to take care of some sponsor business. Picture this. You and a friend are sitting VIP in plush leather recliners watching the Packers on the 50-yard line at Lambeau Field. Nice picture, isn't it? Well, if you enter Cousin Sub's Best Seats in the House promotion, you and a guest could win a chance to kick back on the 50-yard line in style. 2 pairs of lucky Packers fans will be chosen prior to each home game for this VIP experience. Enter daily now through December 11 by completing the entry form and submitting. For complete rules and eligibility, go to packers.com/best seats. Cousin Subs, we believe in better. Back with more on Packers Unscripted right after this. Welcome back to Packers Unscripted. Mike Spofford sitting next to Wes Hodkiewicz. Wes, before we go, a bit of news from Canton, Ohio this past week. Jerry Kramer named a senior committee finalist for the Pro Football Hall of Fame class of 2018. Now, there are a lot of people who believe that Jerry Kramer is the biggest oversight in terms of Hall of Fame omissions. And he's been a finalist 10 times, 9 times in sort of the regular process, 1 previous time in the as a senior finalist 20 years ago. Maybe this is finally the opportunity that he needs, and this story can maybe be put to rest.
Yeah, I mean, honestly, ADT, about darn time.
Yeah.
That was my first reaction when I saw this, and I know his daughter Alicia, his son Daniel, all of his family have been working so hard, so diligently over the years to try to get the word out, telling Packer fans to, you know, to send mail, snail mail, email, anything that they can do to get support there. It's had such a groundswell movement. It started even when I started at the Green Bay Press Gazette back in 2006. I remember getting letters from people saying that this is a travesty.
Yeah.
81 years old now, just incredible that he's going to get this opportunity. It's not the end of the road. There still needs to, you know, you have the vote right around the Super Bowl. But the fact that he got back in this after 21 years since the last time he was a senior finalist, an incredible, incredible development. I think a lot of Packer fans, just judging by the small reaction we've heard so far, just a small sample size, people are really overjoyed by this.
Yeah, and as you said, it's not the end of the road. He's going to need 80% of the vote from the full selection committee when that occurs on Super Bowl weekend next February in Minneapolis. But laying out a couple of things about Kramer, nobody's been a finalist more times and not gotten in than Jerry Kramer. He's the only member of the NFL's 50th anniversary all-time team to not be in the Hall of Fame. There are 11 players from the Lombardi era, plus Coach Vince Lombardi himself, so 12, that are in the Hall of Fame, and two of them have actually gotten in via the senior route, Henry Jordan and Dave Robinson, two players on those Lombardi defenses. And I know the number of Lombardi Packers in the Hall of Fame has sort of always been the caveat as to maybe why Jerry Kramer hasn't gotten in, but boy, I sure hope that that this story is finally over in a good way for Mr. Kramer.
Yeah, a good friend of mine, Pete Doherty, taught me this lesson a long time ago in terms of looking at the Pro Football Hall of Fame. Pete's actually a voter now for the Packers, for the Green Bay affiliation of it, is that players who change the game. I feel that Kramer fits that criteria. He's a guy who changed the game. He's also been an incredible ambassador of not only the Green Bay Packers, but the National Football League over the years.
Absolutely.
A really well-spoken individual, a guy that I think a lot of people really respect in the game, and now getting the opportunity once again to potentially, you know, be able to join that illustrious group.
Yeah, and for all the chances that he's had to express bitterness or whatever it might be towards the Hall of Fame, not the way he's gone about it. So definitely a class act, and hopefully this ends the right way for him. But we'll call that a wrap on this edition of Packers Unscripted. Be sure to follow all of our coverage of the team on Packers.com. On Twitter, you can find him at Wes Hodd. I'm at Mike Spofford, at Packers for the team account. Thanks for tuning in, everybody. We'll see you next time.